Hello and welcome from Good Shepherd Church of Camarillo. We're so glad you're with us. Here's today's message.
Hey everybody, how are you doing? Let's get this over with right away. First of all, yes, this is me, really. This is not my older brother. This is me with a haircut. Linda gave it to me, and yes, this is not an image or not an older, you know, older saint in Minneapolis here. This is me, Jim Johnson. I'm your friend. And so I'm standing here in Medicine Lake, my new job with AFLC, Church Planting Director for AFLC Home Missions. My honor and privilege to get to preach to you and be with you today, my former congregation, people in my favorite city in California, Camarillo. I'm so glad I get a chance to preach to you. I'm so grateful for the ministry of Chad Freestead and Alex Munset. So grateful for the couples that God has sent you, Aaron and Alex and Christy and Chad, and all of you. They are so blessed by you and encouraged by you. I miss my board of elders. Men, thank you for all you've done for me in the ministry, how much I learned over 12 years helping a church like Good Shepherd get established. And now we're applying some of those same principles to new congregations, 25 new AFLC congregations, or I should say newer. We have about 10 brand new church plants, church starts or church plants. And then we have about 10 others that have been with us for about 10 years or less. So we work with those guys too. And then we're working also with congregations that are, we call revitalization projects. These are older churches that have to relaunch, remake, recreate themselves. And so all in all, about 25 to 28 congregations that we're working with, and how much I learned in Camarillo from you, and how much I love your prayers and encourage your prayers. Hi to Linda. And I want to say today, I'm going to give this message today in three parts, 3 9-minute segments. And you're going to go, whoa, hey, Jim Johnson preaching under 30 minutes. What happened to you, Jim? Well, I'm learning as I go. Maybe you could help me learn too. But I'm going to try over the course of the next 25 minutes here to explain from Mark chapter 7, three ways that you can respond to the virus of sin and guilt. I believe that there is a great virus being spread in the world today, all over the world, and it's infecting every human 100%, and it's the virus of sin. It's the virus of guilt. And you can deal with this virus in one of three ways. And I want to take you there in Mark, through Mark chapter 7. You can deal with it by cleansing your hands, by closing your heart, or clearing the way. And I believe as you get through these verses in Mark chapter 7, you're going to hear how Jesus wants to direct you back to salvation, back to the healer, back to the redeemer, the one who takes what has been lost and redeems and reclaims it. In Jesus' name, by the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can be free from the infection, from the virus of sin and guilt. So hear what it says in Mark chapter 7. I'm preaching through this book all year, and I've come to Mark chapter 7. And, you know, I started preaching through books of the Bible when I was with you. Started with the book of Ecclesiastes, and now I'm in the book of Mark. Should finish it next year. But listen to what it says, Mark 7. 1 through 6, in Jesus' name, it says this. One day, Pharisees and teachers of the law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They came to see Jesus. They noticed that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, says verse 3, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands, as required by their ancient traditions. Verse 4, similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. This is one of many traditions they have clung to, such as the ceremonial washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, "Why don't your disciples follow our age-old tradition? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony." Jesus replied, "You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with the lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Father God, I ask that you would now open up our eyes as we look at Mark chapter 7, reading through my New Living Translation of the Bible. I'm going to pray that you would open up our hearts to all that you do as you cause us to respond to the virus of sin and guilt. Lord Jesus, would you minister to us? Holy Spirit, would you instruct us? Father God, would you turn us back to you so that we can clear the way and open up the doors of repentance and follow you with our whole hearts? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I'm going to take you on a journey today through Mark chapter 7. I'm going to actually take you to Linda and my new church, Living Hope Church in Rogers, Minnesota. I'll preach point one and two over there. And then I'm going to take you to our house, actually, in Rogers, Otsego. The name of the community is Otsego, but our mailing address is Rogers. And I'm going to walk you through these three points, how we can respond, how people in general respond to the virus of sin, okay? We'll see you in just a minute. So as we look at Mark chapter 7 and walk through this passage and look at Medicine Lake here in Plymouth, where my office is, I want to propose to you a plan. And while I do that, I'm going to take you up to my office and let you see the building that I work at. This is the place where the Bible school and the seminary is. Linda and I used to live in this house, raising our kids in the dean's parsonage there. And I want to take you into the office where I work with new churches and new church plants. This is our 3110 East Medicine Lake Boulevard building. I'm taking you into the lobby, and this is the place where our AFLC president works, our missions director, Randy Nelson, and assistant to the president, Gary Jorgensen. Take you through this. I hope I'm not making you dizzy by walking you up all these stairs here. But I show up to work here Monday through Friday, typically, unless I'm visiting a congregation on the weekend. I'll sometimes be gone, particularly on Mondays and Fridays, but during the last 8 weeks, I've pretty much been to the office here. And this is our missions department. This is where I work alongside of World Missions Director Earl Coronan. And coming to my office here, I have many memories of Camarillo and our ministry together. I think about you every day and have Titus's football jersey on the screen from Camarillo. We all miss the spot. But I want to talk about how humans have a natural inclination to wash their hands. And Jesus talks about it in Mark chapter 7. And we do the same exact thing now. In my office, I'm going to see if I can set this up and make this work for you. And doing this myself, as the office is quite empty. But as you see here, humans have an inclination to deal with sin in their own way. And Jesus talks about it here as he looks at that passage, and I'm going to refer to a couple of items here. First of all, look at verse 1, where it states there that one day Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. I want you to notice this first, that these religious leaders, the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law, I'm going to call them scribes, they really wanted to see Jesus. They wanted to try to figure him out. And we as humans have that natural inclination. There's got to be a God. There's got to be one who cares about me, who made me, who put this inside of me. We're made in the image of God, and he loves us and he knows us. And we want to see him. And so they see Jesus, but Jesus really saw through them as well. And it states here, and I want you to notice this first, that the people, the masses, the dense crowds, they came to see Jesus, and they loved Jesus by and large. But the leaders, the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the people who had life down, they had the money, they had the lifestyle, they had everything going their way. They saw only the negatives. And they say, we notice, look at verse 2. They notice that some of his disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of hand washing before eating. So let's take that a step further. We're in a good spot. I got to make sure I do this without spoiling much. We wash our hands, don't we? We come to the place where we feel guilt, we feel sin, and like we do during the coronavirus, I'm sure that, you know, our hand washing is going to stop every case. It's going to deal with our problem with the coronavirus. We just dip our hands, we immerse our hands, and we'll be better. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, they said, hey, that's how it's going to work for us. You know, we want to make, Jesus wants to remake us, but we instead would rather just make our own religion. We want to do our own thing. We want to clean ourselves. It's what Luther called works righteousness. We see our guilt, we see our sin, we feel the guilt, definitely. We have seen that we have violated the Ten Commandments. We have violated God's law. But we say, well, we can fix that. Let's just dress us up better. Let's clean our hands. Let's clean our lives. And the problem is, Jesus says, that's not going to be enough. And so he states to them in verse 3, he states, you're always washing, cleaning, disinfecting, scrubbing. You don't eat until you pour your water over your cupped hands. Verse 4, he goes on to say, similarly, they don't eat anything from the market until they immerse their hands in water. Jesus says, this is one of but one of many traditions that they have clung to, such as the ceremonial washing of cups and pitchers and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of religious law asked him, why don't your disciples follow our age-old traditions? They eat without first performing the hand-washing ceremony. Jesus always has a problem with people that care about the inside, but don't care about the outside, but don't care about the inside. Let me tell you about one of our brand new churches. If you pick up our Church Planter magazine, which I would love to send to any of you at Good Shepherd, this magazine describes our work in church planting. And so we're trying to build churches, create churches, and make churches that help sinners who don't know Christ, who have not come to a place of peace with God, find salvation in Jesus Christ. He is their only way. Come, let us reason together, says Isaiah 1:18. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Jesus wants to come and wash you. But we say, no, we'll clean ourselves up first, and then maybe we'll be good enough for Jesus. Well, in the Church Planter, if you go to the back pages, you're going to see the story of a man named Ricky. And he's a man that showed up in one of our churches, AFLC churches, in Hawaii. In Honolulu, we have a church called the Waikiki Church Gathering, the Waikiki Beach Gathering. Ken Graham has visited this church, and I visited with Linda here recently. It's fun. They're reaching out a lot of people. 35 to 45 people typically coming Sundays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, not on the beach, but on the grass in a public park right next to the beach. They meet right underneath a banyan tree, and so they set up every Sunday around 3 o'clock. They come and they set up pop-ups, and they set up chairs, and they invite people to come and worship, and they have homeless people visiting. They have young people, mostly I would say 20-somethings, but there are also people that are, you know, my age in their 50s, and there's a man from Thousand Oaks who loves surfing, moved there. He's just a little bit older, a little bit younger than I am, and he's one of the leaders and helpers and ministers of this church. And the story of Ricky you're going to find out here. He came to church first time inadvertently. He was homeless. He was depressed. He was discouraged. And his wife and their three or four little children were having struggles. And so what do you do? He was drugged out, intoxicated. He went to the beach. He went on the grass. He laid down on a Sunday afternoon, took a nap. And here's what happened. The Waikiki Beach Gathering came to set up for church, and Ricky, the homeless man, was sleeping on their spot. So what would you do? You know, I think The old Jim Johnson would have probably said, sir, can you please move? This is our spot. We have got the permit from the city, from the Parks District. Can you please get out? Wake up, please. You're not allowed to sleep here. That's probably what I would have done. But the Waikiki Beach Gathering, they're nicer than me. And they went, let's see, we're going to have a church service here. Let's just set up around him. And so they just put up the pop-up, set up the chairs, put the sound up, had their worship team, started the service. The man, God is my witness, wakes up in church. He literally, first time he woke up was in church. He heard the music. And the Waikiki Beach Gathering, they bring McDonald's double cheeseburgers for anybody that comes who is hungry. And so one of the men, his name is Kyle, one of our men, he took his bag, and when Ricky woke up during the service, he noticed it. He said, hi, welcome to the Waikiki Beach Gathering. Would you like to have a double cheeseburger? And the man took the double cheeseburger and took a bite and looked at the service and decided to stay. The next week, he came again. And he began to listen to the gospel of Jesus, that Jesus Christ died for him on a cross. Jesus loved him and cared about him. Jesus rose again from the dead. And he heard the message. He responded to the gospel. He heard about the grace of Jesus. And he came back the next week with his wife. He was transformed. His life was changing. And you can read the story and see the story. Well, long story short, a church that doesn't just care about the outside, but cares about the inside, watched Jesus wash his soul. Brady Arneson, the pastor, has baptized four of his children, or I think three of his children and one of his grandchildren. And now Ricky is in charge of their security team ministry. He has on occasion preached, even on Sunday. He's been going to the church for at least a year. And he is being transformed from the inside out. You see, he had an infection. He was infected with the virus of sins. And he knew it wasn't enough just to wash his hands of the virus. No, he needed something deeper than that. He needed something that would change his heart inside out. Ricky has found Jesus. He's there. He's serving the Lord. He's a new creation. So you can respond that way, and a lot of people do. Maybe you have friends, family, neighbors. They feel the guilt. They feel the sin. They deal with this virus by just cleansing the outside. My friends, it doesn't work. You have to get clean on the inside. For the second point, I'm going to take you to our new church in Rogers at Living Hope. We'll see you there in just a minute. So here we are at Living Hope AFLC Church in Rogers, Minnesota. If you look around to your left here, you're going to see these beautiful farms and homes and what I would call suburbs / farm areas, horse farms, kind of like the Ojai, California of Minnesota in the Northwest Corridor of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Beautiful place to live if you have a little bit of money. We're able to find this church. It was an old Episcopal church built in 1912. And historic, it had a lot of good things happening in the past. But the church had finally died out and sold it to a group of Free Lutheran church planters. And we see God doing new things. Linda and I are among the older people in the congregation. And we have about 120 people, two services. The sanctuary only fits 85 people. So we have 50 in the first service and probably 70 in the second service, 8:30 and 11 o'clock. And here at this site, we're watching God do new things, new starts, new people coming to Jesus, reaching country people in a lot of ways who have moved to the cities and find some good feelings about the past from their lives. And we preach the gospel here. Jesse Nealon doing a great job. And I want to use this as a segue to talk about how some people deal with the virus of sin and guilt. You can cleanse your hands, or you can close your heart. And how do you close your heart to the real issues of Jesus? I think the way that most of us do it is you just replace true living Christianity with what I call just the traditions of men, the ancient traditions. And Jesus says that. He talks to these people. They were complaining, these religious conservatives in Jerusalem were complaining because your disciples don't wash their hands. And he says to them, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he wrote about you. He said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, he says, verse 8, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. And then Jesus gets on a roll and he starts speaking to them and rightly, accurately describing them. He says, verse 8, for you ignore God's law and substitute your own tradition. And verse 9, then he said, you skillfully sidestep God's law in order to hold on to your own tradition. For instance, God gave you this law from God, honor your father and your mother. And whoever speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But, he says, 11, you say it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, mom and dad, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. That Old Testament word was called, that Aramaic word was called korban, that Hebrew word korban. Korban was what you needed to give to God. It's dedicated to God. So sorry, I can't help you, mom. I have to give this money to the church. I'm going to leave you alone. All right. Jesus says, that's not what I'm looking at. You got to close your heart to do stuff like that. You cease having compassion and you call it conservative religion. And so he says, verse 12, in this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. And this is only one example among many others. Oh, Jesus says, no, if you want to have real faith, living faith, you got to get rid of the closed heart religiosity and open up to real living faith. I want to read you a quote from a man named Matthew Burke. Matthew Burke is a Harvard graduate. He's the father of 8 children, his wife Adrienne, and him living in the great state of Minnesota. He at one time was a pretty decent offensive center for the Minnesota Vikings. He played for another team. I can't even remember what it was. Maybe the Lions it was, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But Matt now is a school planter. He is among many things, he's planting new Christian schools. And he started a new one in a nearby city called Burnsville. Started a new Christian school called Unity Christian High School. And he's working together with my friend named Tom, who has a heart to help families get Christian education. And so Matt Burke in his recent newsletter wrote something that I want to read to you. And Matt says this, it really makes it simple for me. He says, in 3 short months, God did something like he did with the plagues of Egypt. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut down the stadiums. You want to worship musicians? I will shut down the civic centers. You want to worship actors? I will shut down theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and collapse Wall Street. God has taken away everything we worship. You don't want to go to church, Matt Burke writes. You don't want to go to church and worship me? I will make it where you can't go to church. And then he quotes 2 Chronicles 7:14. Listen to this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God wants to heal our sins, but he's calling on the Christians not to close their hearts, but to open up their hearts in prayer to God and seek his face again. So Matt Burke concludes, he says, maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need to take this time of isolation from the distractions of the world and have a personal revival where we focus on the only thing in the world that really matters. With that, I want to take you to our house. Linda and I and the boys now live in a city called Otsego. Our mailing address is Rogers, but I want to take you to our house. And I want to share the third way that people use to deal with the virus of sin and guilt. And I want to talk about the hopeful conclusion that Jesus offers in return in the Gospel of Mark. So here we are at the house that the Lord gave to Linda and me, and I want to talk to you in Mark 7 about the pandemic parable of Jesus. It's one of the shortest parables that I see in the whole scriptures. And it's a parable, I know, because Jesus says it's a parable, and he talks to the disciples who ask him, explain this parable. And as I explain it, I'm going to read the scriptures for you here. And I want you to just look at the neighborhood that God has placed Linda and I in. We're here in Otsego Rogers area, and this is our house. The Lord's given us this neighborhood, kind of like our church. We're among the older people in this neighborhood too. It's a neighborhood full of four-year-olds. And we were gifted this house. You can see it over here. And Linda found it. It's one story with a basement, and we enjoy being here. We're loving making friends with the neighbors and getting to know people to our left and right, bicyclists all over the place on a day like this, a golden day in Minnesota. And I want to read to you what it says in Mark 7, starting at verse 14. Listen to what it says. Then Jesus called to the crowd to come and hear. All of you listen, he said, and try to understand. He's setting them up for this pandemic parable. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you, but you are defiled by what comes from your heart. Then Jesus went into a house, verse 17, to get away from the crowd, it says. And his disciples asked him what he meant by the what? By the parable he had just used. Just a very short parable. It's not what goes into your body that defiles you. It's what goes out. And then Jesus says in verse 18, don't you understand? Can't you see that the food you put into your heart, into your body, cannot defile you? Verse 19, food doesn't go into your heart, but only passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. By saying this, he declared that every kind of food is acceptable in God's eyes. And then he added, it's what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness, he says. All these vile things come from within. They are what defile you. What's the pandemic parable of Jesus? You know, it's real simple. It's not a virus that we should be afraid of. We're not afraid of what comes from the outside. Jesus says it's not what comes into your body that defiles you, but what comes out of it. Oh, my friend, Lord Jesus, he has told us that the sin inside of you that's undealt with is far more dangerous than any COVID-19 virus. The infectious, destructive, secretive, unseen wickedness that comes from inside of us, the envy, the greed, the sensuality, the deceit, the wickedness that comes from inside, you know, that is what defiles a man. Jesus wants to make that clear. The pandemic parable of Jesus is, see all this passion, worry, and paranoia that's going on about the unseen virus of COVID-19? Oh, you shouldn't even be worried about that any more than you should be worried about the sin that's coming from within you. So how do you deal with that guilt, that sin, the paranoia and the wickedness that results from it? Jesus said, it's not what goes inside that defiles you from the outside. It's what comes from your heart. Jesus says, no, don't just clean your hands. Don't just cleanse your hands. Don't just close your heart in the guise of religiosity, conservative religiosity. Because you know what the real answer is? Clear the way. Like Matt Burke says, let's get rid of everything else that has distracted us. And let's go back to the basics of Jesus Christ. You want to worship actors, you want to worship money, you want to worship the economy. God says, I'm going to take that all away from you. And I'm going to point you right back to me. I am the only one who can heal. Jesus is the only answer here. And so I say it from Rogers, Minnesota, Otsego, Minnesota. I say it from our house at 5548 Raintel. The only answer to the virus of sin, our biggest problem, the biggest global pandemic problem that we're dealing with, is sin and nothing more than that. Oh, that you would seek Jesus in a brand new way. Mark wants to explain that in the gospel. By the Holy Spirit, he writes these words, and I'm going to read from Mark 1, 1 to 3, and listen to what he says. I'm passionate about this. I want to recommend a reading in the, if you Google on David Suchet, S-U-C-H-E-T, he's a British actor, and he plays a detective on Broadway and in London. His name is David Suchet, and he reads the Gospel of Mark all the way through. It takes him 2 hours. And I've been listening to it probably my fifth time through. I want to encourage you to read it, to hear it also. The Gospel of Mark by David Suchet. And hear what the Gospel of Mark in verse 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 1 by the Holy Spirit says this. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness," listen to this, "prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him." My friend, clear the road for Jesus. Let's get everything out of the way and let Jesus become King, Lord, Savior, and Master and Healer of your life today. He is our answer. I want to close with one last story. I'm working with new church plants, and one of the new church plants I'm really excited about is a church plant that we're cultivating in St. Paul, Minnesota, to be led by Holmes and Jia Zhou. They're Chinese nationals. He is a professor. He has got a doctorate in mining. He comes from an engineering area of East Asia, and he's trained to be an engineer, and he's gifted. He's gone to the University of Indiana, and he's gone to our seminary, our Free Lutheran Seminary. He was saved when, I guess it was a couple of Missouri Synod missionaries met him in his hometown, and they, over the course of 3 years, led him to personal faith in Jesus. And they've been working with Chinese scholars, visiting scholars at the University of Minnesota. There's 3,000 of them on campus. And they are holding Bible studies Friday, Saturday, and Monday for these Chinese professionals and scholars, and he's inviting them to come to personal faith in Jesus. And I do believe by this next fall, we'll have our first Chinese AFLC Free Lutheran Church. Won't that be great, Jackie and Lawrence? It'll be awesome. And so they've been working with a woman named Maggie. I'm going to call her Maggie. That's not her name, but I'll say her name is Maggie. She's married to a Christian man, but she's just always been slow to say yes to Jesus. And her husband's always been a little bit forward, saying, "Honey, have you come to the place where you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior yet?" And it's always been, "Not ready yet, not ready yet." Well, 3 weeks ago, Maggie was in a parking lot at a place that would be similar to Safeway. And a man, she said, tall and white and poorly dressed, came up to her in the parking lot anonymously, walked up to her, and he said to her, a Chinese scholar, "Are you ready to receive Jesus as your Savior today?" And Maggie said, "I don't know what happened to me. But for some reason, after all that time, I said to him, 'Yes, I am.'" And that man in the parking lot of the grocery store prayed with Maggie to receive Jesus as her Savior. And now she's coming back to the Bible study with Holmes and with Ja, zealous for the Lord Jesus Christ. She's a part of the Saturday night Bible study. And they're excited to start this first new church. But that's how Jesus works, is that he clears the way, he eliminates all the distractions, and he comes and he says, "I have died on a cross for you. I have risen from the dead. I am alive. I have grace for you. I have compassion on you. I can heal your pandemic problem, your pandemic virus of sin. I, Jesus, can cleanse you with the vaccine of the blood on the cross that he shed for you. Oh, Lord Jesus, heal us, hear us." Father God, I'm asking that my friends in Camarillo, who I love and I miss and I hope to see soon, who are listening to this today, would respond and not just wash their hands or close their hearts, but clear the way to let Jesus, you come and rescue, save, and deliver. And cause the Christians, Lord Jesus, to clear the way also of every other distraction in the middle of this coronavirus crisis. Cause the Christians, Lord Jesus, to come and say, "All I care about is healing in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, clear the way." In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, thanks so much for this chance. I love being with you guys. I hope to see you real soon. Keep serving the Lord and take care.